now.
This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, March 23rd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start right with the Sweet 16, four games yesterday. We'll go right to the upset as the first number one seed to fall in the 2012 NCAA tournament becomes Michigan State. Louisville 57, Michigan State 44, Louisville up 23-18 at the half. Louisville obviously played a very, very good game. Give Rick Pitino credit. Gorky Dang was unbelievable. He blocked seven shots, and I thought that was the difference in the whole game. 5 points, nine rebounds, but he blocked seven shots. Every time Michigan State went inside, this guy was unbelievable. Of course, they have Peyton Siva, their excellent point guard. Only scored 4 points, but had nine assists, including a number in the second half that were really good. Bahanin led the team with 15. Smith off the bench had 11. They only had two guys in double figures, but again, so did Michigan State. This was a very low-scoring game. Louisville started off 1-for-13, but Rick Pitino has never lost a game in the Sweet 16. What a stat that is. He is now 11-0. Even though they're the lower seed, number four seed, Michigan State, the number one seed. Now, Draymond Green had a good but not great game. He was the main man for Michigan State. He was only 5-for-16, but he did have 13 points, 16 rebounds. Wood had 14 points to lead Michigan State in scoring, but again, they only had two guys in double figures. Keith Appling, who's a very, very good player, had a very, very tough day. 1-for-6 from the field. He only scored 6 points. They really relied upon him a lot to score, and they simply couldn't. Michigan State, 5-for-21 from three. Towards the end of the game when they were down, they were just hoisting up threes. I don't know if they had to do it as early as they did it, but obviously they had to get back in the game. They were down double digits towards the end of the game. They only shoot 28% from the floor, and it was the lowest point total for any number one seed in the shot clock era. Michigan State only able to score 40 points. Louisville shuts them down, holding them to 18 in the first half. Louisville 57, Michigan State 44. And again, Louisville starting off 1-for-13, you think they would be down 10, 12, 14 points. Instead, they're up 5 at the half after a disastrous start, and they make it to now the Elite Eight by beating Michigan State 57-44. Now, who are they going to play? Well, they're going to play the winner of Florida and Marquette. Marquette, the 3 seed, the tough Big East team. Florida, the 7 seed, not very well respected, but they do have Billy Donovan. He, of course, of the back-to-back NCAA championships a few years back with Joakim Noah and that whole group. But Billy Donovan, who is now going to get to play his mentor, Rick Pitino. Donovan played for Pitino at Providence. Played for him briefly with the Knicks, and he's really helped. Pitino has helped Donovan forge a great college coaching career. Florida upsets Marquette, Florida 68, Marquette 58. Florida up 6 at the half, gave Marquette all sorts of trouble. Florida, a very good team, not a team you really know, frankly, a lot about. But Bradley Beal led Florida, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Boynton, their point guard, with 11 points, 5 assists. Walker with 11 points. Again, only 3 guys in double figures. This is college basketball. Florida 68, Marquette 58. Jay Crowder, the Big East Player of the Year, even said after the game his shots just weren't falling. 5-for-15 from the field. Still led the team in scoring, 15 points, 7 rebounds, but it wasn't enough. Johnson Odom from Marquette had 14 points. He also shot 5-for-15, and when your two best players shoot 10-for-30, well, you're going to have trouble beaten anybody. Florida playing the best ball of the year now in the tournament, peaked at the right time. Obviously, Billy Donovan can do that. Florida, 68, the number 7 seed, beats Marquette, 58, the number 3 seed. So on Saturday, tomorrow, it will be Louisville against Florida. Winner, of course, goes to the Final Four. So to me, a couple of surprising scores. Michigan State, number 1, gets knocked out. A 7 beats a 3. And they'll be playing for the right to go to the Final Four. Two other games yesterday turned out to go according to plan, but certainly scares for both teams. Syracuse back and forth with Wisconsin. Now, you know Jim Boeheim runs that 2-3 zone, and what's the way, you know, that you can beat that 2-3 zone? Well, if you're making your threes, at least in theory, you can beat the 2-3 zone. And Wisconsin shot 14 of 27 from three for the game. Unfortunately for them, they shot 7 for 22 from two. So it's very unusual. They shot 52% from three and 32% from two. They made 6 straight threes in the second half. They did take the lead. But Syracuse seemed to have an answer every time. Now, going into the game, Syracuse was 0-6 against the Big Ten all-time in the tournament. Pretty interesting. But they just, their bigs were just too tough. 30-10 in the paint, points for Syracuse versus points for Wisconsin. The C.J. Fair was unbelievable. 7-9 from the field, 15 points, 7 rebounds. I thought he was the key to the game. Scoop Jardine is Scoop Jardine, 14 points, 4 assists. Trish with 11. But I thought C.J. Fair was the difference in this game. And it was very interesting because after the game, Jim Boeheim said, that's the best game that anybody's played against us and didn't beat us. Because, again, if you hear before the game, Wisconsin's going to make 14 threes, shoot 52% from three, make 6 straight threes. And I mean, that was unbelievable, 6 straight threes in the second half. You got to think Wisconsin's going to be the winner. But Wisconsin really didn't have an answer for Syracuse inside. And as it turns out, Syracuse holds on 64-63. Wisconsin actually had the ball for a final shot, but it was really a busted play. And Taylor, of course, their star, took an off-balance way beyond NBA 3. I wouldn't even call it a good look. Taylor did have 17 to lead Wisconsin in scoring and 6 assists and 4 rebounds. But the last shot that they got was just a poor play and a poor shot. Syracuse holds on. If that shot had got in, of course, Wisconsin would be moving on. But number 1, Syracuse, 64. Number 4, Wisconsin, 63. And again, that game and the Ohio State game that we'll talk about in a minute were both played up in Boston. In the other game, just another bizarre game, frankly. Ohio State dominating in the first half, up 37-25 at the half. Ohio State, the number 2 seed. Cincinnati, the minorly surprising number 6 seed. And you thought at halftime, I thought at halftime, the game was over, frankly. But then Cincinnati goes on an incredible run to take the lead in the second half. And they actually came from 12 down at the half to go up 4 in the second half. And then Ohio State just locked down on the D. This Aaron Kraft, you hear people say, oh, the best on-the-ball defender in college basketball, the best point guard on-the-ball defender, and then if you didn't know it before, you saw it yesterday. He made 2 or 3 steals. He had a total of 6 for the game. But he made 2 or 3 steals in like 4 possessions that, in my opinion, turned the whole game around. Kraft did not have a great shooting night. In fact, the coaches want him to shoot more, but he really defers, as he should, to Sullinger, their big man, DeSean Thomas, who's come on this year. So yesterday, Ohio State, after being up 12, going down 4 in the second half, run Cincinnati off the court the last 10 minutes. Ohio State 81, Cincinnati 66. You know, if you didn't see the game and you look at the box score, you say, oh, they were up 12 at the half and they coasted home to win by 15. It was exactly the opposite. They were up 12 at the half. They lost the lead to Cincinnati. Cincinnati got on an incredible roll, went up by 4. And then Ohio State blew them out the last 8-10 minutes of the game to win by 15. So although you see Ohio State 81, Cincinnati 66, don't think for a second that it was an easy game for the Buckeyes, because it wasn't. Deshaun Thomas has really come on of late for Ohio State and might be the guy that catapults them to the national championship. 10 for 17 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3, 26 points, 7 rebounds. Sullinger, of course, for my money, still the best big man in America. 23 points, 11 rebounds, shoot 7 for 13 from the field. Kraft, I thought, was the key, even though he only shot 2 for 7 from the field. He did have 11 points. He did hit a big 3 and a big 2 in the second half when they turned it back around. He had 6 steals, which were monstrous. Again, this guy's a very good defender. 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He's a complete player, Aaron Kraft. And the guy who didn't produce, who they're going to need to produce to go all the way, is Buford, who had a terrible game, 1 for 8 from the field for 4 points. To have a game like that from Buford, one of your stars, and still beat Cincinnati by 15 is a big deal. Now, Mick Cronin, the coach of Cincinnati, interviewed after the game, said it was just too many turnovers. They had 18 turnovers. He said you can't beat a team like Ohio State, although, again, it was just a bizarre back-and-forth game. Kazmir Wright, 18 points, 4 for 6 from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, led Cincinnati. Sean Kilpatrick, a very good shooter, 6 for 12, 3 for 8 from 3 for 15 points. Parker also had double digits with 10 points and 6 rebounds, but it's not enough. A very good year for Cincinnati. They finished 26 and 11. Ohio State now 30 and 7. And Ohio State moves on, and this is the 1-2 match. If you looked at that region, you kind of knew was going to come. There was some real concern about Fab Mello and not playing for Syracuse. And look, there should be concern. Syracuse had trouble in all three of the games that they've won, but they won them, and that's all that matters. They move on to beating Wisconsin by 1. They move on to play Ohio State. I picked Ohio State before the tournament to beat Syracuse and get to the Final Four. So that game will take place tomorrow. We'll talk about the games tonight a little later in the show, but Kendall Marshall right now, you know about him, UNC's point guard. They say he has a broken wrist. I think the real diagnosis is a broken scaphoid bone. That's, I don't know if that's really in your wrist. It's really the area between your thumb and next finger going back towards your wrist. But in any event, it's on his non-shooting hand. He is wearing a cast. You know, Roy Williams, the coach of North Carolina, has been a little coy, you know, oh, he can't brush his teeth, I don't see how he can play, but if he comes to me and says he can play, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I know someone who had that injury, and it's a very difficult injury. It's not necessarily painful, but if you do get knocked around, and I don't think you're allowed to play with a hard cast in the tournament. So I think it's going to be very hard. Most people think North Carolina can beat Ohio without Marshall. But that'll only give him an extra 2 days. I'm not sure, frankly, if that's going to be enough. But we'll just have to see again. We'll talk about the four games tonight. But right now, Syracuse and Ohio State tomorrow. Winner goes to the Final Four. Louisville against Florida tomorrow. Winner goes to the Final Four. Again, some minor surprises. Not in the East, Syracuse, Ohio State. But with Louisville, a four, against Florida, a 7. Obviously, there are a number of upsets along the way in that region. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promise is asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you could stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
And we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to the NBA. We're going to get to the NHL. But first, we're going to go to the NFL. Certainly the big news where I live in New York. I know it's even a bit of a national story because it is Tim Tebow. But it's really in New York. What is Tim Tebow going to do to Mark Sanchez? Is he lurking in the wings? Does he want to be the starter? Of course, over and over again, Mike Tannenbaum, the GM, has said Sanchez is the starter. Tebow is the backup quarterback. According to John Elway, and there's a split here, according to John Elway, they gave Tebow the choice. We can send you to Jacksonville, his hometown, where he's a god in Florida, of course. Or we can send you to the Jets. According to Elway, Tebow took the Jets. According to Tebow, he didn't have any power in the matter. It was up to Denver. But then Elway came back and actually said, look, Jacksonville made us a better offer. So believe who you want to believe. But certainly Tim Tebow in New York with his following, you know, I already painted the picture. Suppose the Jets go 0-3 and Sanchez throws five interceptions. Tebow will be the starter in game four. And that's the problem. Now, the belief is, the Jet belief to some degree, is that Sanchez needs to be under pressure. Like, he did so well in those playoff games his first 2 years because he was under pressure. And now he'll be under pressure every day because Tim Tebow will be around. They're not saying that publicly, but at least that's the belief, that this will push Sanchez to be better. Now, there was a controversy in New York last year. Was Sanchez a hard worker or not? A couple of guys said he didn't work hard, but then many more came and said he was one of the hardest workers on the team. So this thing is not going to go away. It's been almost universally, not totally, but almost universally panned as a fill-the-seats move as opposed to a football move. Now, Tebow can run the Wildcat. He can throw out of the Wildcat. A lot of people are saying, well, you don't really have a quarterback who runs the Wildcat. And, you know, I don't even know that that's 100% true. Tim Tebow, whatever you think of him, is a different kind of NFL football player. He isn't the perfect pocket-passing quarterback, but he is a big bruising runner as well. So he is a guy who can do both. Look, he threw for over 300 yards against the Steelers in the playoff game. There has to be something there. You know he's working as hard as he can. He's out in California working on his passing game. You know there's room for improvement there. He knows it. He's a hard worker. So do I think it can help the Jets? Oh, it's an interesting question. It does make the Jet offense more diverse. It does make teams have to work on stopping a Sanchez and stopping the Wildcat. But look, when you see like a Ronnie Brown, he could throw the ball a little when he ran the Wildcat for Miami. And don't forget now, Tony Sperano, the former Miami coach who essentially invented the Wildcat or certainly used it for the first time against the Patriots a few years and killed the Patriots, they were shocked. Now, over the years, people know how to play the Wildcat now. It's not what it once was, but it is, to me, kind of a change-up, if you will. And if you have a change-up with a guy like Tim Tebow, who can throw the ball, I mean, some people think he's a running back who can throw a little as opposed to a quarterback who can run a little. But I think it is going to make the Jet offense more diverse. But I think if anything remotely goes wrong with Sanchez, if he gets off to a bad start, if he has a couple of tipped interceptions, if the Jets start 1-3 or 2-5 or something like that, you know, in New York, they're going to be calling quickly for Tebow. And you saw what happened in Denver. I mean, yes, they went 1-4, but they were taking billboards out for Tebow. Fans were chanting his name at the games. And eventually, frankly, Denver and Elway and Fox, the coach, rode the wave. I mean, the guy came in, and however you think he may not have looked pretty doing it, he did it. I mean, Tim Tebow had the most comeback wins, fourth quarter drives to win games in the whole NFL last year. That's got to mean something. And I watched it, and you watched it, and it was ugly. But he did it. And then again, to be 8-8, win your division, and get a home playoff game, which I think is an absurdity. They did that. Nobody thought he could beat the Steelers even at home, and he did beat the Steelers. And he beat them with a, you know, 10-12-yard slant that became an 85-yard touchdown in overtime. But he did it. He threw for 310 yards against the Steelers. Nobody does that. Now, my view of that was guys like Polamalu gambled too much. You recall, even on the touchdown, Polamalu came up to the line of scrimmage thinking first down it was going to be a run play. And Demaryius Thomas ran a slant, stiff-armed a guy, and was off to the races. So Tebow does have something about him, and, you know, whether you think it's a football move or a business move, wherever Tim Tebow goes, he's going to put fannies in the seats, he's going to sell a lot of jerseys, he's going to go out and do charity work, you know, I think anybody who's really watched him going back to college doesn't think this is an act. Tim Tebow believes in what Tim Tebow believes. He's the real deal. He's a religious guy. You know, that doesn't necessarily fly well in New York, but he's always going to have plenty of followers in New York and across the country, and I'll say it again. To me, this is more about how Mark Sanchez performs. The notion that they're going to let Tim Tebow sit on the bench and run five wildcat plays a game if Sanchez is throwing picks. And again, we discussed this all season last season. The arrow on the improvement meter was not pointing up this year for Mark Sanchez. The only question is, was it pointing sideways or was it pointing down? I think it was pointing down. And he won four playoff games on the road his first 2 years, never accomplished before in the history of the NFL. And good for him. And even though Brian Schottenheimer got slaughtered in New York, the former offensive coordinator of the Jets, I thought those first 2 years he called a lot of plays where Sanchez was alone, where he moved the pocket, where he had rollouts, where the passes he had to make were not difficult passes. This year he was simply unable to drop back, throw the ball down the field. I mean, he just couldn't do it. So as one tweet I saw said, the Jets now don't have one guy who can't pass. They have two who can't pass. And again, that's a little cold. But on the overall scheme of the NFL, when you look at the quarterbacks the other teams have, there's an element of truth to that. So now there's been some, you know, I don't even want to get into the intricacies of his contract. He had to sign another contract, and he's going to be on Denver's salary cap until tomorrow at 4 o'clock. But the reality is Tim Tebow is a Jet. He flew into the New York area yesterday. He's not going to be introduced now until Monday because of this procedural issue with his contract. But he is a Jet, and, you know, when one guy comes in, another guy can't be happy, and that other guy is Drew Stanton, who was signed just 1 week ago by the Jets to back up Mark Sanchez. Now, Stanton has already correctly, I think, said, you know, trade me or release me, do something. I don't want to be here anymore, because he has no chance to play unless there are, like, two major injuries to Tebow and Sanchez. So, on the one hand, Tannenbaum said, yeah, this is going to make teams prepare for two quarterbacks. It'll help Mark. They won't prepare as much for him. And supposedly Tebow spoke to Sanchez and he's comfortable with his role as a backup. But again, nobody really believes that. This guy's one of the most competitive guys on the planet. And there is a controversy in Denver. Elway says he gave Tim a choice, Jacksonville or the Jets. Tim said, you know, Denver had all the power. But Tim Tebow is a Jet. As Mike Francesa said on the radio, the Jets are the masters of the NFL in March, April, May, June, July, into August. But once the season starts, they're just another team. And there's an element of truth to that, frankly. They seem to be going the wrong way. They were an unbelievable defense 2-3 years ago. Last year, they were a good defense. Sanchez played, I thought, better his first 2 years than he did last year. And again, if anyone says he improved as an NFL quarterback last year, I don't think they saw the games. So we'll just have to see. Obviously, it's made for a lot of fodder in the New York tabloids, something you would expect, of course. But Tim Tebow will be officially introduced as a New York Jet on Monday. But again, it's just a matter of procedural stuff with his contract. It has nothing to do with the chance that they'll void the trade. A few other things. Andrew Luck had his pro day, or Stanford had their pro day yesterday, and Andrew Luck threw. A lot of people there. Excellent workout. The ESPN guys were all raving. Steve Young, I didn't realize he was so athletic with his feet. And Trent Dilfer, I mean, all these guys. Again, the only guy I've ever heard say anything remotely negative about Andrew Luck was, I did say, Phil Simms say, I haven't seen all the big-time throws you have to make in the NFL. But according to everyone who was there yesterday, Andrew Luck made all the throws. You know how it's going to go. The Colts are picking number one. They're going to pick Andrew Luck. Washington moved up to number two. They're going to pick RG3, and then they'll go from there. But it was a good day yesterday, apparently, for Andrew Luck, as he seems to have, if there were any doubts, quelled those doubts as a thrower of the football. A few other NFL notes. Tracy Porter, the Saints cornerback, signed a one-year, $4 million deal with Denver. So obviously Denver's going to make a run this year. They're going to sign who they can sign. And again, you can expect to see some former Colts come in there now that Peyton Manning is going there as well. Michael Bush, who was the Raiders running back, signed a one-year deal for $7 million with the Chicago Bears to back up Matt Forte. Now, Matt Forte, who wanted a long-term deal, you remember last year, was he not going to play? Was he going to try and leave? He said he wants to be in Chicago, and he's been awesome for the Bears. But he got the franchise tag this year, so he's only getting 1 year. And, you know, he's upset that they brought Michael Bush in. He tweeted, you know, how many times can the guy be disrespected? You have to wonder if Matt Forte is going to try and leave. But Michael Bush, formerly of the Raiders, is now with the Bears, and he's a very good running back. So I think the Bears are also making some moves to try and do some good this year. One other note, kind of NFL-related, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin wants to hold hearings as to whether or not bounty hunting, as was in the NFL with the Saints, is a crime. They're selling free Sean T-shirts in New Orleans, and according to the people who are selling them in New Orleans, they're now getting orders from all over the country and all over the world. I don't think this is going to change. I don't think it matters what anybody says. Roger Goodell had to come down real hard on these guys and did come down real hard. I agree with all those other suspensions and the timing. I thought it was a little much to give the coach a year. But again, if he was warned and did lie and supported the bounty program and knew about it and lied to the NFL and told his coaches to lie to the NFL, I guess you can see it. Should the Congress be concerned with this kind of stuff? I view this to be different from steroids, and, you know, I thought it was not a stretch to have steroids hearings. I thought it was good that they had them, but I think here the NFL has really done a good job in coming down hard and sending a message, especially with all the concerns about injured players and concussions, et cetera. And to take a guy like Sean Payton, who's going to make $7 million this year as a coach, and give him zero, well, that's a pretty good deterrent. So should bounty hunting be a crime? It's a great question. You've had those borderline, especially in hockey, where guys savagely attack other guys. They can be tried criminally. It rarely happens, but it can happen. I assume the same thing could happen in football, but more likely, I would say, is if one of the bounty hunters ended the career of one of these guys, I think there could be a very valid lawsuit there. So I think in this situation, Congress shouldn't really be concerned. I thought steroids was a closer call, but steroids, I think there was a good reason to do it. Plus, you were hearing all these stories of high school kids taking steroids. I don't think you hear stories of high school kids getting bounties. But in any event, we'll have to see if Congress gets involved in this. You'd like to think they have more important things to do, given the state of the country, the state of the economy, the state of the world. But we'll have to see. Maybe Dick Durbin is just trying to get some publicity. I'm really not sure. But we'll keep an eye on that as well. I want to start the NBA before we get to the break, but a number of interesting games in the NBA. Probably the most interesting, the Clippers go to New Orleans. Not the most important, but the most interesting. The Clippers go to New Orleans. Of course, Chris Paul coming over to the Clippers from New Orleans this year. Rumors are now that Vinny Del Negro, the coach of the Clippers, has lost the Clippers. They've been terrible of late. Lost three in a row, six of their last nine. They go into New Orleans to play a team that, you know, frankly, it isn't that good. I mean, the Hornets are 12-35. But yesterday, the New Orleans Hornets beat the Clippers 97-90. I got to tell you, I just saw the highlights of this game, but what a beating Blake Griffin took. And this Jason Smith, who apologized after the game, but he just, Griffin was going in for a dunk, and Jason Smith just lowered his shoulder and took him out like he was checking him in a hockey game. Or knocking him out of bounds in a football game was a flagrant two. Smith got ejected. He apologized after the game. He should get suspended. But Blake Griffin took a real beating yesterday, and the Hornets beat the Clippers, New Orleans 97, Los Angeles 90. A good win for the Hornets, obviously, a terrible win for the Clippers. But the Clippers have not been playing well. I really thought they could challenge Oklahoma City in the West, but they've been, as I said, 3-6 their last nine. Three in a row they've lost now. Griffin 21-11 yesterday, but only 7-19 from the field. Paul 16 with 9 assists, but only 5-14 from the field. Those are the two guys who have to put the ball in the basket. DeAndre Jordan, a very good player, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 7-8 from the field. But Griffin and Paul have to play like superstars every night for them to win, and that has not happened. For New Orleans, Chris Kaman, the big center, 20 points, 10 rebounds, had a very good game. Jack, the point guard, 17 points, 9 assists. Smith with 17, Bellinelli with 15, Henry with 12 off the bench. A good team effort for New Orleans and a good win. But again, Jason Smith, who had 17 and 8 rebounds, expect to see him get suspended, I would think, because he viciously took out Blake Griffin. Now, Griffin's taken a beating since he's been in the league and has responded well to it. He's a superstar. But yesterday, the Hornets get the win. Hornets 97, Clippers 90. We'll get to the rest of the NBA and the NHL after these messages. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7. Online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more NBA games to look at. The Celtics going to Milwaukee to play the Bucks. Now the Celtics are in sixth in the East. The Knicks are in seventh. The Celtics are in seventh in the East. The Knicks in eighth. The Bucks trying to catch both teams. The Bucks yesterday playing at home had a big game against the Celtics, but the Celtics trotting out that big four still. And I include Rondo as actually he's above the big three now, I think. Celtics 100, Bucks 91. Celtics moved to 25 and 21. Bucks moved to 21 and 25. Bucks up two at the half, but they couldn't hold on as they only scored 33 second half points. Celtics 100 to 91. Paul Pierce 25 points, 9 rebounds. KG, what can you say? 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Still doing it. Brendan Bass, who's come on strong as a starter for the Celtics, 12 points, 10 rebounds, essentially taking the role of Kendrick Perkins, if you will. Rondo, 10 points, 14 assists. Ray Allen, only 6 points yesterday, and the Celtics still win by 9. For the Bucks, Jennings with 19 points, but only 2 assists. Monte Ellis, 13 points, 7 assists. And again, Monte Ellis coming over to Milwaukee from Golden State. A lot of anger in Golden State. We'll get to that in a minute. Carlos Delfino, 16-8, but not enough. Celtics, 100. Bucks, 91. That's a big win for the Celtics, putting some space between them and the Knicks and the Bucks. Obviously, the Celtics looking to go higher. Everybody in the East who's around that area wants to try and get to the 6th or 5 seed. Nobody wants to be 7 or 8 because you'll have to play either the Bulls or the Heat. And you don't want that in the first round. So there's a real battle, frankly, up to 6th place where Atlanta and Philly and Indiana are battling there for 4, 5, 6, Orlando locked in at 3. But the Celtics beat the Bucks 100 to 91. Warriors go on the road and get hammered by the Rockets, and the Warriors have, you know, some dysfunction now. They do have a good young coach, in my opinion, in Mark Jackson. But they did trade probably their most popular player, Monte Ellis. And I think we talked about the other day when they had people out there at Golden State to retire Chris Mullins, number 17. The owner was booed mercilessly. Rick Barry tried to calm the crowd and I think actually did a good job. I saw that. But the Warriors as a team right now, the biggest guy they got from Milwaukee was Andrew Bogut, who's a very good 7-foot center when he's healthy, but he has a lot of trouble staying healthy. He might come back for the end of the year. He might not come back till next year. Clearly to me, from Golden State's perspective, this was a trade for next year. With David Lee and Bogut up front, they're going to be pretty good. But we'll have to see. In any event, the Rockets hammer the Warriors in Houston yesterday, 109-83. The Rockets moved to 26-22. Golden State dropping out of it in the East, and the West, where you have to be at least 500 to think about the playoffs. They dropped to 19-26. Parsons, 20 points, 11 rebounds for Houston. Scola, 18 points, 7 assists. Dragic, the backup point guard, now starting, 17 points, 9 assists. Samuel Dalembert, 15 points, 10 rebounds. Again, Houston's one of those teams to me with a lot of very good players. They have a good team. They're four games over 500. They didn't even have Kyle Lowry, who is inactive, and Kevin Martin with a strained right shoulder. Kevin Martin might be the best player of the team. He's one of those excellent players very few people know about in the NBA. But they hammer the Warriors 109-83. Not a good game for David Lee, who usually puts up good numbers, 6-for-14 from the field, 12 points, only 5 rebounds. The high scorer was Jefferson off the bench. Obviously, Golden State got him from San Antonio, 14 points, 3 rebounds for Jefferson. But Golden State right now, not a very good team. They arguably lost their best player again. I think this was a trade for next year when Jefferson may wind up starting, and when they put Bogut into the starting lineup, they're going to be a good team. But right now, Rockets bury them 109-83, Golden State falling out of the playoff picture. Another interesting game, the Grizzlies go up to play the not very good Trailblazers, who maybe are turning it around now. Trailblazers 97, Grizzlies 93. Batum leads the way for Portland, 24 points. Matthews with 18 points and 9 rebounds. LaMarcus Aldridge with 16 points, 5 rebounds. Felton, a good NBA point guard, 13 points, 9 assists. Jamal Crawford off the bench, obviously 17 points, a good win for Portland, 97-93. Marc Gasol for Memphis, 22 points, 9 rebounds. Conley, the point guard, 13 points, only 4 assists. Randolph coming back now, 12.6 rebounds. You know, he gets into shape. Memphis is going to be that much better. Memphis 25-20. Obviously, in the playoff picture, Portland 22-25. They're going to have to go on a streak to get back into the playoff picture. Interesting game. Indiana beats the Washington Wizards in Washington 85-83. If you saw the highlights, Paul George has a nice game for Indiana. But Washington has the ball down two, very late in the game. And Wall, dribbling around at the top of the key, pushed out, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, 7 seconds. He starts to go to the basket, comes back out, and then goes to the loops around his man and goes to the basket, throws up a shot at or right after the buzzer that goes in to tie up the game, except he shot it after the buzzer. And again, if you have the ball in your hands, which Wall did for 8, 9, 10 seconds, down two, if you're going to shoot it, you got to shoot it before the buzzer goes off. John Wall does not do that. Indiana, 85. Washington, 83. Hibbert, the big man for the Pacers, 19 points, 9 rebounds. Crawford had 21 for the Wizards. Wall with 9 assists, but not enough. One other game, Al Jefferson tips in a missed shot at the buzzer to give the Jazz a 103-102 victory. Over the Kings, Utah playing better, 25-22. Again, I didn't think they'd be 500 in that conference. The Kings dropped to 17-30. Jefferson, the man, 26 points. Tyreke Evans with 25. Cousins with 18 rebounds for the Kings. But again, not enough. New Orleans, 103. Sacramento, 102. On a tip-in at the buzzer. We'll get to the NHL in a couple of minutes, but still a few other miscellaneous things in baseball. Breaking news this morning. And what can you say? Jabba Chamberlain coming back from Tommy John surgery and had been doing really well with his arm yesterday in a freak accident while playing with his kid on a trampoline, dislocated his right ankle, needs surgery, going to be out for a while. Just bad luck for Jabba, who's fighting back from Tommy John surgery. And at least with respect to his arm, the rehab was going well. But now this is going to set him back even further. Jabba Chamberlain dislocates his right ankle, after playing with his young son on a trampoline. A few other things from yesterday. The big news, Chipper Jones announced in advance. Again, maybe he wants the farewell tour. Some players like that, some players don't. But Chipper Jones announced that he's going to retire after the 2012 season. Chipper, the number one overall pick in the 1990 draft, 19 seasons with Atlanta, .304 batting average. Only two switch hitters have more home runs than him, of course, Mickey Mantle and Eddie Murray. Probably the two greatest switch hitters of all time, I would think. Glad he was, you know, Chipper Jones had a nice emotional press conference. He's 40 years old, but he said, one uniform my whole career, stuck around because of my teammates. They kept me young as you can keep a 40-year-old in terms of baseball, 7-time All-Star. He is the only switch hitter with career batting average over 300 and 450 home runs. To me, that's a little misleading. You know, I saw Curt Schilling on ESPN say Chipper Jones was like Mickey Mantle, but I don't think so. And even if the numbers are remotely close, there's Mickey Mantle, and, you know, he's one of the 10 greatest baseball players ever. When you understand that Mickey Mantle, although they always talk about the right field porch at Yankee Stadium, when he had to play in Yankee Stadium when it truly was Death Valley, and Death Valley is not 399 like it was now, but it was 457 and 461 back when Mantle played. So, you know, I respect Curt Schilling, but he has no understanding of who Mickey Mantle was if he thinks Chipper Jones is like Mickey Mantle. You can put the numbers next to each other. I think Jones has 454 homers. Of course, Mantle had 536. If Mantle played in the 90s and the 2000s without steroids, I think he would have hit 700 home runs. So, really, you have to have a sense. He played his entire career, I think, except for 1 year in the high mound era. and nobody ever talks about it, but nothing, I think, changed hitting more, apart from steroids. No legal rule change changed hitting more than they dropping the pitching mound after 1968, the year of the pitcher, when Gibson had that 1.12 ERA, et cetera. So, again, you should never compare Chipper Jones or virtually anyone to Mickey Mantle. Mantle hung on too long by his own admission, needed the money, never made more than like $125,000 in a year. If he did what he did in the free agent era, they couldn't pay him enough money. He'd be the highest paid player by far. But again, for another time, Mantle did say he hung on too long. He was embarrassed that his career batting average went under 300. Here's a guy, as you know, who won the Triple Crown in 1956, and then a year later he didn't win the Triple Crown. He only hit 365, and they wanted to cut his pay. So you have to have an understanding of the different eras. I know it's hard now, but if you read up on Mantle and how he was almost crippled in his first year as a Yankee and played hurt his entire career, and his teammates used to say how he was taped like a mummy up and down. I got a lot of respect for Chipper Jones, but he's no Mickey Mantle. But in any event, Chipper Jones announces his retirement, so he'll do the farewell tour, I guess. They'll give him gifts at all these visiting parks when he's leaving. The Mets supposedly issued a statement that said they're sorry to see him go. I find that hard to believe. This guy's like the biggest Met killer of the last 15 years. Chipper Jones, even when he's in a slump, seems to kill the Mets. But he announces his retirement. This will be his last season. I think Atlanta can make a run at a wild card. But again, that NL East, as we've talked about with the Phillies, you know, I guess you can make a case that Atlanta could win the division, but they obviously collapsed last year, and the Phillies are the Phillies, and the Miami Marlins are much better, and the Washington Nationals are much better, and it looks like Johan Santana for the Mets is going to give them at least a chance at credibility, because they're going to drop him in the number one or the number two spot. That's going to be a very tough division, the NL East this year. Again, we always talk about the AL East and how tough it is, but the NL East might be deeper and tougher this year. We'll just have to wait and see. Yankees played the Red Sox yesterday. Yes, it's only an exhibition game. Always controversy. Bobby Valentine, you know, made some absurd comments about Derek Jeter. I think he's just trying to tweak the Yankees. He's the new manager of the Red Sox now. Yesterday, he tries a squeeze play to tie up the game against the Yankees, 4-4 in the ninth, and then he's ready to play extra innings. And Joe Girardi, manager of the Yankees, just said, no, I'm not going to do that, and took his team off the field. So Bobby Valentine was apparently upset. Again, these are all just mind games. So the Yankees play to a 4-4, Yankees and Red Sox play to a 4-4 nine-inning tie. Also, Kendys Morales came back again. If you remember, he was having an unbelievable year, and he had become a very good player for the Angels. And he hit a home run in May of 2010, and they celebrated dopily like teams do. I don't know why they do this. You know, they jump on each other at home plate after you won the game. And Morales cracked his ankle, if you'll recall, in May of 2010, missed the rest of 2010 and all of 2011. He is playing now finally for the Angels. Yesterday, in his first at-bat in almost 2 years, he did get a base hit. Albert Pujols hit a home run. If the Angels get back Morales, that's a big plus for them. Again, obviously, his injury was incredibly serious because he missed almost two full seasons with that cracked ankle, which, again, was done when his teammates and he were celebrating a game-ending home run that he, Morales, had hit. Again, you have to be careful in these situations. It's just beyond stupid to me that someone could get that seriously hurt in that kind of situation. One golf note, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Charlie Weed leads at 6-under-66. Of course, the news is always is about Tiger Woods. He shoots a 3-under-69, three off the lead. He did miss a couple of close putts, but he did make some good putts. And this is the problem, I think, today with Tiger Woods. We've talked about it before. I don't think he's ever getting back to where he was. But yesterday his quote was, quote, "It was a day I didn't really do anything great today," close quote. And he even laughed at it after he said the word do. "It was a day I didn't really do anything great today." And again, you wonder, what is the mindset of what was once the world's greatest golfer? And certainly I was one who thought he would get to 19 majors easily. Now he hasn't won a tournament in 3 years, so you really have to wonder how far, if at all, Tiger Woods is going to get to climb up that list of majors. He's at 14. I've said it now for a year and written it. You know, I just don't think he can duplicate what he used to be. And I think that's going to cost him a chance to get Jack Nicklaus's 18 and surpass him with 19. Switch to the NHL now. few interesting games yesterday. Nashville goes into Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby has 9 assists his first 4 games back. I don't think it matters. You know, people are saying, oh, he hasn't scored a goal. If you get 9 assists in 4 games, I don't know that you need to score that much. I mean, Crosby is unbelievable. Malkin's leading the league in scoring. So yesterday he gets 2 goals. Pittsburgh beats Nashville, a pretty good team. Pittsburgh 5, Nashville 1. Penguins have now won 9 in a row at home. They clinch a playoff spot. I mean, I don't know what you expect from this guy. They're a very, very tough team. If Crosby is healthy and can play, again, Malkin gets his 44th and 45th goals of the year. Pascal Dupuis gets his 22nd. Kunitz gets his 22nd. Cook gets his 17th. They have a lot of weapons, but I think Crosby is the glue that will help them win. And I think they're a huge factor now. I think they're better than the Rangers, and I'm a Rangers guy, but I think they're better than the Rangers if Crosby is healthy and playing. Pittsburgh 5, Nashville 1. Yesterday in the shootout, Alex Ovechkin scores 26 seconds into the game for Washington. Washington down up at Philadelphia, but Claude Giroux comes back to tie up the game in the second period with his 27th. Brizgalov, very good for the Flyers after giving up that early goal. Philly wins in the shootout 2-1. Matt Reed and Wayne Simmonds score the shootout goals to give Philly the win. Brizgalov has been playing much better. Again, I thought he could make Philadelphia a serious Stanley Cup contender. He's been up and down. He's been mostly up lately, including 3 shutouts in a row. Philly beats the Caps 2-1 in a shootout. The Capitals, with that point, hold on to the 8th spot in the NHL, the 8th and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. A few other games to look at quickly. Minnesota beats Calgary 3-2 in a shootout. Minnesota gets goals from Danny Heatley and Darryl Poe in regulation. Heatley is 21st. And in the shootout, Devin Setoguchi gets the only goal. Minnesota 3, Calgary 2. Los Angeles shuts out St. Louis 1-0. Jonathan Quick gets the shutout and stops 35 St. Louis Blues shots. They win it in the shootout. Mike Richards and Jeff Carter score for the Kings. Los Angeles 1, St. Louis 0. Want to get to the TV now for tonight. A lot of TV again. 4 games in the NCAA. These teams who win will be in the Elite Eight, playing on Sunday now for the Final Four. On CBS tonight, 7:15 Eastern, Baylor against Xavier. At 9:45 Eastern, number one Kentucky on CBS, number one Kentucky, number one seed, number one in the nation, plays Indiana. But, of course, you know Indiana beat Kentucky earlier in the year. You know, it says here Kentucky's going to be out for some revenge, and they're going to handle Indiana. But Indiana is one of only 2 teams to beat Kentucky this year. The other doubleheader on TBS, 7:45 Eastern on TBS, North Carolina against the surprising Ohio University. Now, North Carolina probably won't have their point guard. Still should be able to handle Ohio, who's had a dream run. A lot of people picking in the second game, 10:17 Eastern on 10:17 Eastern on TBS. I'm sorry, North Carolina State against Kansas. A lot of people picking NC State, but I like Kansas to go all the way. I picked Ohio State to go all the way before the season. I picked Ohio State to make the Final Four, but I picked Kansas before the tournament in the pools. So we'll see. But some people think North Carolina State can upset Kansas. We'll wait and see on that. 2 doubleheaders tonight. NBA basketball, the Knicks at the Raptors, 7 o'clock Eastern on MSG. The Nets at Atlanta, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on YES. ESPN doubleheader, Celtics at 76ers, 8 o'clock Eastern. Again, Celtics trying to catch the 76ers. 76ers not playing well of late. Nuggets at Jazz to follow, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Hockey games, if you get MSG, MSG 2, Sabres at the Rangers. Buffalo comes down to Madison Square Garden. Ryan Miller playing very good of late for Buffalo in the goal at 7 o'clock Eastern. Maple Leafs at the Devils, 7 o'clock. That's on MSG+. Devils also looking to make a run in the playoffs this year. Exhibition baseball, if you're into that, 1 o'clock on the YES Network. The Twins at the Yankees down in Florida, of course. And they show the same game if you don't get the YES Network. Network, Split Squad, 4 o'clock, MLB Network, Yankees at Phillies, Split Squad for the Yankees today. So if you're a Yankee fan, you can watch both squads, 1 o'clock on YES, 1 o'clock Eastern on YES, 4 o'clock Eastern on the MLB Network. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.